Hi, I'm Mar Bell and welcome to the penultimate episode in Director's Notes London Film Festival interview series and my discussion with Italian filmmaker Maura Del Piero, who makes the jump over to fiction with Maternal, an enthralling feature exploration of the meaning of motherhood set within the confines of a religious Buenos Aires refuge for young unmarried mothers. In our chat, Maura shares how the tools of her documentary background provided an elucidating view of the lives she wanted to dramatize on screen, and her methods for building cohesion between the performance styles of the film's professional, non-professional, and child actors. So it's my pleasure to be back at the London Film Festival and joined by director Maura Del Piero to talk about her fabulous film, Maternal. Welcome to Director's Notes.
Thank you so much.
Your background prior to Maternal was in documentary filmmaking, but I'd like to go back a little bit further than that to ask you the question, what is it that attracted you to filmmaking and directing in the first place?
Cool. I arrived to cinema late in my life. I studied literature. I didn't study cinema, and I'm a literature teacher. But then there was something missing, and I was like really trying to find my path. And there was a situation, I was a director, a friend needed an assistant, and I had an experience, and at the end of this experience, I was like, this is what I was looking for. It's interesting because someone asked me today, did your parents make movies or something? And it's not this at all. They weren't in the cinema at all. But in a way, thinking about it, I think that maybe the fact of being a lonely child of two workers was the real origin of this. I mean, I spent a lot of time alone and I kind of invented stories for myself. And I think that those were films. So in a way, it was like finding out the way to get back to that moment.
The events in Maternal, they unfold in Buenos Aires, Hoga, which I wasn't aware of their existence before. So for anyone who may not have seen the film and is listening to the interview, could you tell us about that setting and why that setting was interesting to you to discuss these issues of motherhood and what it means to be a mother and the different types of mothers there are?
This Hogar, they are a center for teenage mothers. Some of them are religious, some not. But when I decided to do a film about teenage motherhood and I knew about the existence of these places, I decided to go and work there. So I offered cinema workshops for the teenagers. That was kind of my excuse to live inside that place and absorb that little closed universe. I just took notes, I didn't have any camera, so in a way my documentary experience was not there. I tried to do a step back and just observe and listen and touch and smell and like be there. And at the end of this experience, which was very long, I just closed the door and wrote. That was just paper and dramaturgy and really like script, a fictional, completely fictional script. But then what was interesting is that when I did the casting and I found one of the two young protagonists, the teenage mother, when she read the script, she asked me, how did you know all these things about my life? So in a way it was interesting because in a way the script, even if it was completely fiction, it absorbed so much reality that she thought I knew about her experience and all the events and feelings she was going through. So it was a decision of starting from a very documentary situation and then going through a dramaturgy to have a little plot, but also as an excuse to tell a word that fascinated me.
When you were spending your time there, did you already have the characters or the amount of characters and their traits in mind, or did that fully form during your research period?
Not at all. I just knew I had a very big attraction to the theme of maternity and I wanted to go deep into complexity of maternity. So in a way I knew that this teenager motherhood was a moving paradox to me, to have in the same body and soul this intensity of a teenager, all the desires and troubles of that age, and all the intensity of maternity. So that was the main attraction and the main core. But then when I worked inside a religious hogar, I found out that teenager motherhood was not the only paradox. There was another one, which was the cohabitation between this precocious maternity and the absent maternity of the nuns. So in a way, I was really moved by this strange cohabitation, these women that are so opposite that live behind the same roof. And I wanted to see what happens there, what happens when they live together, what happens to the nuns towards maternity, what happens to the teenagers when they have to do with nuns that are not mothers. And so then when I began to write, I just had two teenagers in my mind and I kind of followed them in my imagination, and then the nuns came out and then the plot came out. But it was like discovering.
Were there elements of Argentinian society, thinking particularly of the laws surrounding abortion, that made you want to set the film there? Even though the film isn't overtly political in that sense, but there are obviously elements there, and there are things that are alluded to, particularly with one of the girls and why she's pregnant.
It's an intimate film, so it's really like very personal stories. But of course, it's inside society, and it's a society where abortion is still not legal. This doesn't mean that you don't have abortion in Argentina, but it's clandestine and very expensive. So in a way, this also makes a big difference between a rich teenager and a poor teenager, which cannot afford. There is a big movement now in Argentina fighting for a safe and free abortion, and there is a big moment of consciousness of the young girls. But still, it is a patriarchal society, and like a society in which there are big economical differences. So of course this has to do. But I have to say that the political background, the film came out from a very personal calling. I was really interested in maternity, and I felt it was giving me contradictory feelings. So I began just to interview a lot of mothers, and I understood that what was personal, I felt it was universal. I mean, a lot of women were confessing they were feeling contradictory feelings. So in a way, choosing teenage motherhood was just a way to find a situation which is difficult in itself and permitted me to making these contradictory feelings come out in a more evident way. But at the end of the day, I think that these contradictory feelings are in most women, you know. Of course, a teenager has a conflict that is bigger because you are 16 and you want to go out and have party, and then you need to protect your child and to be a caring mother, and this is a big fight you have every day inside. But I think this happens also to adult women.
Given your documentary background, you might have presumed that your approach to filming would be kind of a looser style, but the stylistic choices, they're a lot more formal. To what extent did that come out of the subject matter and the way you want to deal with the subject matter, also coupled with the setting? Because as well, we see the architecture, which seems to lend itself to that. So I'm wondering what the balance was between subject matter and setting that dictated that style.
I think it was both a directorial choice, like really what I like in cinema, and the relationship to the setting. The first one is also, as a documentary filmmaker, I was always preparing and controlling the scene a lot. They were not rough documentaries, like with a lot of handheld camera. And so in a way, to go to fiction was just a matter of, I really wanted to work with actors and have more time for these settings. And then, of course, when I talked about the project, everyone was expecting a household camera because of the teenager and of the children, but to me the place was more important. So as you say, I wanted to underline the geometry of this place, because in a way it is like metaphorically a place where you stay in and you cannot go out. It's like a microcosmos in the life of these women, and in a way it's an ambiguous place because it's both a protection but also an enclosure place. So I needed a camera that was really still, and even if you think that the life of a teenager normally is moved, But when you are a teenager and you are a mother, you know, like maternity also has very daily rituals. So it's like, you know, a very still time, and also religious has rituals. So in a way, I needed a camera that was really like still as their lives. And then to have just, you always are inside, and to have an outside that is just connected to desire and what is risky outside or what you would love outside. And then I worked with these interior exteriors, which are the balconies.
And we get a lot of repetition with that,
yes,
as well, don't we?
Yeah. To me, these are like the connections between the sacred and the profane, to say this.
Yeah.
In a way, when Sister Paola, during the night, she like takes a child, she's like passing from her choice, her life, and this new life. So to me, it had to be like an external place. So I try to work with places in a metaphorical way, also with sound. When the two girls go on the roof, you have like this world outside, and we work on the sound as if they were on a very high skyscraper.
Yeah.
When when the sound is like very far away, and you feel life is elsewhere. So all the audiovisual choices were made to have this closed world.
What did you shoot on?
It was an Alexa, a mini Alexa.
Okay. And how did you come to arrive at the Alexa specifically?
It was like a choice of I liked it, and also it's easy. My DOP, she used it before, and it's like flexible. You can like work with children and teenagers in, so even if it was like a fixed camera, you have to do with little places and people doing movements that are not so like professional actors. So in a way, it was a good compromise between the quality we wanted, but also the flexibility of the camera. So I think it was good. Of course, I mean, we didn't have a big budget, so in a way, sometimes I had to renounce some more difficult things I wanted. So we decided, for example, to work with more closed frames, because they permitted to control the light in a better way. But then it was like, I was quite satisfied with what we could do with the situation.
Your cast, as you mentioned, featured professional and non-professional actors. What were the different techniques that you used when working with the professionals versus non-professionals?
That was a challenge, because it's really a neorealistic cast, and of course it's a different language. Imagine the children and the two teenagers, they never saw a camera before, so it was really like forming an audiovisual language for them. At the beginning, I thought it would be difficult for the teenagers, but then I realized the largest path was for the professional actresses, because they needed to go to an acting that was really like near to the teenager ones. So they had to, in a way, to undress from their usual habits and try to stay in this reality world. With the teenagers, I did a lot of rehearsals home and in the studio with the casting director. And overall, it was at the beginning with one of them, it was like convincing her that she didn't have to do anything. Acting for her was what she saw in TV, and I didn't want it at all. I just wanted her to follow me and to trust me. When I gained her trust, then it was like she did a big evolution, really. I was amazed, because in a way, when she understood that she just had to trust and leave the situation, it was easier than what we feared. And then, of course, there was the children. I chose very little children. The little child, Nina, she's 4. Casting directors always tell you have to choose a 6-year-old girl that seems 4.
Right.
Because otherwise your set will be a nightmare. And indeed, it was a nightmare. But I think it was worthwhile, because when I casted her, I really saw childhood in its purest state. she wasn't aware of the situation, and she was really there playing, living, and I really wanted that for Sister Paola. That really, the big attraction, this little girl you have to protect. It had to be a strong calling. And then, of course, with her, we decided to do, like, sometimes the film in the film. So, for instance, when the feelings were too strong for her, we didn't want to hurt her, so it was like, it's not that your mother abandoned you, it's your little duck is ill, let's go to the hospital. And she was really worried, and so there we got the expression.
Right.
So in a way she lived her stories, or also, you know, like the ugly duck and all these things. We used like children stories in order to her to be there with us, but not hurting her. Then of course, I mean, the time of attention you get for an acting with a child is so little, but the whole set was influenced by this and had to deal with it. So in a way it was three different types, but the challenge was that there had to be no difference at the end. And that's why I tell you, I think the professional actresses had to do the longest path, because we chose that the type of acting was really teenager-oriented, children-oriented, so they had to be really like out of all the acting habits.
Kind of strip themselves back.
Yes, and also because the role of a nun is very difficult. I mean, it's very difficult to believe to nuns, because they do such a radical choice that people don't understand nuns. And so in a way, it's difficult, because a story of cinema is full of wrong nuns. You see the actress there and you say, oh, I don't believe it. So it was like a challenge, but as far as I see till now, it works.
Having this project be sparked by the questions you had about motherhood, and now coming through it and seeing all these different versions and digging into them, has it altered your view on motherhood at all from the beginning of the project? Or maybe answered some of the questions you had?
I think it confirmed my sensation that in Latin society, I don't know here in the UK, but in Latin society, it's difficult for women to confess they have difficulties about motherhood. You always have to be the perfect mother. And maternity is a revolutionary event. It's magical, it's fantastic, and it's also very difficult. Knowing this teenager mother, I really saw how their life is influenced by this event. It's there in every aspect, in every thinking, in every feeling. It really influences. So in a way it was a confirmation, but also it gave me the desire to go even deeper. So I continue to read and research about maternity, but not in that happy way, you know, like there is like advertisement with all these blonde and little babies and we are very happy and that's it. We have to kind of give space and voice to these different feelings most women feel. So I'm still researching, even if the film is over.
Perhaps for the next feature.
Maybe. But, you know, like, this is the second film where there are just women. But it's just by chance, because it's the subject that, you know, it's they are all inspired by reality, and it's reality that where no men are. So everybody is like making fun of me and saying, okay, so next film, all the men are away. And I'm saying, no, maybe I will be inspired. So I don't know. I still don't know, but...
Well, we look forward to seeing that, Mara. Thank you so much for speaking today.
You.
I really enjoyed the film, and I hope it does well.
Okay, thank you so much.
As the year comes to its end, so too will Director's Notes LFF series, which will wrap up by speaking to Argentinian director Lucio Castro about his multi-decade-spanning romance drama End of a Century. Up on directorsnotes.com, you can read how NFTS graduate Sam Gainsborough brought claymation life-size for his inventive mixed-media short Face in It. And if you still have time on your hands, then please put it to good use by sharing, subscribing, and starring the DN podcast. It really does help more people find us. Speak to you soon.